Hello, and welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. I'm your host, Abigail Galvan.
There's been peer-reviewed studies that have been put out that says that in states that have enacted assisted suicide, all suicide increases.
Assisted suicide in Illinois. Lawmakers pass a measure that's the latest in a troubling trend. How pro-lifers are pushing back.
They kind of help me more than I help them, to be honest with you. Because we're all made in the image and likeness of God.
Education for All, a report from Rome on one group's efforts to advocate for those with special needs. Plus, a major draw. One pro-life organization holds a contest with a creative way to fight for the unborn. We'll explain. Pro-lifers are pushing back after lawmakers in Illinois pass a measure to legalize physician-assisted suicide. The state Senate passed a measure in the early morning hours of October 31st. It was one of the final moves of the fall veto session. The proposal now heads to the desk of Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker. He has 60 days to either sign the measure or veto it. If he fails to take action, it automatically becomes law. The Catholic Church strongly opposes assisted suicide. The bill would allow individuals to request and self-administer medication to end their lives. The requester must be at least 18 years old and a resident of Illinois. They also must have a terminal illness with a prognosis of less than 6 months to live. The death certificate would list the terminal disease and not suicide as the cause of death. As we mentioned, pro-lifers are pushing back against the measure. Bishop Thomas Paprocki of Springfield, Illinois, says, quote, "Doctors take an oath to do no harm. Now they can prescribe death. There are documented cases of patients being denied treatment and instead offered life-ending drugs. Individuals could also be coerced into taking the lethal drug." Bishop Paprocki also notes the measure passed on October 31st, calling Halloween a day that culturally has become synonymous with glorifying death and evil. He adds the pro-death legislators did it under the cloud of darkness at 2:54 in the morning. For more, we turn to Robert Gilligan, executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, which is speaking out against this measure. Robert, great to be with you. Can you briefly walk us through the efforts in Illinois to legalize physician-assisted suicide, and why did this vote happen in the early morning hours?
Yeah, it happened at 3 a.m. on Halloween. Doesn't that say a lot right there? It was interesting that they did it during what they call in Illinois a veto session. And technically, that's just the opportunity for the legislature to act on gubernatorial vetoes, whether they should override them or not. But on the very last day of the veto session, the Illinois General Assembly took up a host of controversial measures, funding on transit, things about immigration, a lot of very controversial issues. And in the midst of that, while they had an hour, at 2 a.m., the debate started to legalize assisted suicide, which is really unfortunate because we were under the impression that we were going to be okay right now and this would be an issue that would be addressed next legislative session beginning in 2026. But, you know, what can you do? They rounded up the requisite votes and they passed it. And they do that here. They can, you know, leadership gets involved and they put pressure on members and it becomes a sociological sort of a dynamic amongst the Democrats. And they jammed it through by one vote, unfortunately.
It's very concerning to hear. Now, in a statement, the Catholic Conference of Illinois mentioned the impact this measure could have on teenagers. Can you tell us more about these concerns?
Yeah, we're concerned about the suicide rate. Teenagers, veterans, everybody who's poor and vulnerable, kind of at the margins. And we can actually prove this empirically. There's been peer-reviewed studies that have been put out that says that in states that have enacted assisted suicide, all suicide increases, not just amongst those that kill themselves, but people who are at the margins. And our point to the legislature was, once society, once the legislature says something's okay, they give the green light to it, do you get more of it or less of it? You always get more of it because society says it's okay. So this really is going to have an impact on that teenager out there that's struggling, that's not doing well, that's struggling with life. And once they hear that in the ambient culture that suicide, assisted suicide is now legal, we're very concerned because of the data in other states that's going to lead to more suicides in our state. In our statement, we said also that, you know, Illinois, we funded, we now have a 988 hotline. We've put a lot of money into mental health care for people who are vulnerable, who are maybe at suicide tendencies. And here we are enacting assisted suicide. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So we're really concerned about that. And I'm sure you know that the number of suicides in this country is alarmingly high. Mm-hmm. It's at least 2 to 4 times what the number of homicides are. So we really don't need assisted suicide at a time when our culture is vulnerable and very weak at large.
Now tell us, is there any chance Governor J.B. Pritzker will veto this measure?
You know, we're people of hope. There's always a chance. You know, you don't know. Obviously, it's no secret that Mr. Pritzker has presidential aspirations. How does that play into this decision? We don't know. I just got off a phone call with members of the disability community, and I can tell you the disability community is very angry and they're very upset, and they're going to meet with the governor. I can tell you that we're going to be meeting with the governor. I know that some of the hospitals, the Catholic hospitals, are very concerned. So we're going to express our concerns as clearly and loudly as we can to him. And after that, we do what we do. We pray and hopefully that, you know, some intervention comes to Governor Pritzker, that he sees the light and decides that maybe this isn't a good idea. It's going to be an uphill struggle, though. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it, but we're going to try. We're going to give everything we have to make sure that try to get him to veto it.
It's definitely a fight worth fighting. What word of encouragement would you give, or just hope would you give to our viewers who live in the state of Illinois?
Well, you know, it's Illinois is a difficult state right now. You know, it's obviously we had sort of a, you know, we had a purplish state and now we're going more blue. And it just seems like things like assisted suicide and abortion, they just seem to be more and more acceptable in amongst members of the General Assembly. But, you know, look, we can't give up now. This is not the time to drag our feet. And, you know, we're people of hope, as I said before. And, you know, we've seen before what happens when people can mobilize and get together and make phone calls. And we're going to be urging in the next day or two, we're going to be putting out action alert to all the parishes, to everybody, to call the governor, to make sure they know what our concerns are. We're going to walk through some talking points with them. You know, maybe if we do what we can do and the disability community does what they can do and the hospitals can do what they can do and some other groups step forward, you know, you never know. So we have to try to do the best we can. And just hope that's what our obligation is. We can't get hung up on the outcome. We can just do what we need to do to ensure the best opportunity possible.
Amen. Well, Robert, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
To ask Governor J.B. Pritzker to veto this assisted suicide bill in Illinois, please contact him at his Springfield office at 217-782-6830 or at his Chicago office at 312-814-2121. Assisted suicide is also a big concern in Canada. That country has some of the world's most lenient eligibility requirements for medical assistance in dying, or MAID. Residents do not have to have a terminal condition to be eligible, and starting in 2027, eligibility could expand to include mental illness as the sole underlying condition. This comes as Canadian citizens react to losing loved ones to euthanasia. A Catholic missionary living in Ottawa says he regrets losing both of his grandmothers to assisted suicide. Benjamin Turland made the remarks to Amanda Achman, founder of Dying to Meet You, a project aimed at raising awareness of the dangers of euthanasia.
It just makes you ask the question that, like, what did I do wrong that you would want to end it now and that you don't want to, like, stay with me for, like, a little bit longer? If I could have had 2 more days with you, would I take that? I'm like, yes, I would have taken that over anything. Because now I don't have you. It's like, I'm wondering, what could I have said? What could I have done to make you feel like a day, 2 days, 3 days is worth it? Even if you can't talk. Like, even if your eyes are closed. You know, even if I just get to, like, hold your hand, kiss your forehead, stroke your hair, be in your presence. Remember your life. Remember our memories with you in the room. I think it's worth it.
Turlin says that now is the best time to speak with your loved ones who may be considering medical-assisted dying. The father of four says it is an important conversation, even if it is painful. Democrats, many of whom campaigned on protecting abortion access, sweep the elections last night in New Jersey, New York, and Virginia. Abigail Spanberger won the race to become Virginia's first female governor. Abortion was a central part of her campaign. She called on voters to elect her to protect the state's permissive abortion laws. In New Jersey, both candidates for governor supported abortion. Winner Mickey Sherrill says she is in favor of the current law, which allows abortion up until birth. She also voted against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And in New York City, the new mayor is Zoran Mamdani, who promotes gender ideology and abortion access. He decisively defeated two opponents, including former state governor Andrew Cuomo. A recent poll says 7 out of 10 voters support requiring a doctor's visit to receive abortion pills. The findings are from McLaughlin and Associates. That is 71% of U.S. voters approving of a measure requiring a doctor's visit for the chemical abortion drug to be prescribed. The study also found that 30% of voters had, quote, significant concerns about the safety of the abortion pill. This comes as the Food and Drug Administration recently approved a generic version of the leading abortion drug. For more, we turn to Kelsey Pritchard, Political Communications Director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Kelsey, great to have you back. First off, what is your biggest takeaway from the poll numbers, and did the findings surprise you?
It shows us that the requiring an in-person doctor visit to get abortion drugs is not only the right thing to do, it is the politically smart thing to do. And having this Biden rule that allows for the mail order of abortion should be put to an end, and that's what people want. And I think the great thing about this poll is that the people who participated weren't even majority pro-life, they were majority calling themselves pro-choice. And yet even they say that we need to end this Biden rule of mail order abortion, and at least we know these drugs are intended to kill the baby, but we need to protect our women and protect pro-life laws in the red states that don't want these drugs shipped in because they want to save babies.
Now, there are all sorts of studies about the dangers of taking abortion pills. What are some of those numbers?
Yeah, there are two studies that came out recently that show the same thing, that as many as 11% of women suffer serious effects like sepsis, hemorrhage, infection. And we also know from the Charlotte Lozier Institute that the vast majority of ER visits related to abortion drugs are miscoded. And that is because the abortion industry tells women, if you go to the ER, don't tell them that you took the abortion drug, tell them you're having a miscarriage, which then complicates how you help those women and can lead them to become more and more serious condition.
Now, the Biden administration allowed the mailing of abortion drugs without a doctor's prescription. Are you surprised the Trump administration has not changed this yet?
It's extremely disappointing because the Trump administration, the FDA, HHS, they could end this Biden rule today if they choose to. They can do it immediately. There should be no holdup for this. And, you know, this is the Trump administration we're talking about. When do they follow bureaucracy and instead of doing the right thing? And so we hope that they will see common sense and see this poll and realize that the majority of Americans want them to end the Biden rule. And it's not just, like I said, it's not just the right thing to do. It's the politically smart thing to do. And they should do that today so that we can save more unborn children and that we can keep more women from the ER.
Now, the FDA under President Trump also recently approved a generic version of a widely used abortion drug. Tell us more about this and how pro-lifers are responding.
Yes, this is also extremely disappointing that RFK and Secretary McCary, they have promised states and they've promised pro-life officials on Capitol Hill that they will study the safety of abortion drugs as it relates to the safety of women. And as they promised that, they quietly, as the government was shutting down, rolled out a new generic abortion drug. that will be a cheaper version of what's already available and flood the markets and cause more unborn children to die, more women to go to the ER. And this is extremely concerning if they themselves have said that the parent drug is not safe for women and they have questions about that. They're studying the safety of that. Also, this generic drug sat unapproved by the Biden administration for 1,200 days. And yet the Trump administration went ahead and greenlit it, not even a year into office. So this is extremely concerning. There's still time for the FDA to reverse course. And like I said, they need to immediately end this Biden rule that is unpopular and that is ending the lives of people in America and sending women to the hospital.
Now, Kelsey, we have just about a minute left. What are other pro-life stories you're following?
Well, yeah, well, we are going to be very involved in the midterms. We'll have an announcement coming up soon about our investment in the midterms so that we can retain pro-life majorities in the House and the Senate. And we'll be investing tens of millions of dollars into doing that next year. It's very important that the progress that we've seen in defunding Planned Parenthood and big abortion is not reversed. If the Democrats get majorities, it's going to be really hard, maybe impossible, to defund big abortion again next year and to stop Planned Parenthood from getting $500+ million in our Medicaid funding every year. And we finally put an end to that. So we need to keep that progress going. And we need to also remind Republicans that you can't win without your pro-life base. And so I think this investment is a reminder to them and hopefully a valuable step forward in retaining Republican majorities in Washington, D.C.
Well, Kelsey, as always, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. God bless.
Vice President J.D. Vance recently addressed questions about the Trump administration and the pro-life issue. The remarks came as Vance spoke to thousands of students at the University of Mississippi in a Turning Point USA tour stop. The leader of the Ole Miss pro-life group Rebels for Life asked the vice president if the administration's stance on fighting against abortion has changed. Here is his response.
If you look at the pro-life victories that the President of the United States has been able to achieve, he's been able to achieve them because he has worked within the system that we have. If your attitude is you are going to pursue the most aggressive pro-life option, even if it means you lose every election and every outcome means that you're going to be in a situation where the Democrats have abortion on demand up to the moment of birth to the very end. You've got to work within the political constraints that we have. And whenever a society mistreats its women, it is very often the babies who come right after that. There is a reason why Christian civilization ended the practice of child sacrifice all over the world, and it's one of the great accomplishments of Christian civilization. I believe that we should try to be protecting every unborn life.
The head of the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, is speaking out against the latest expansion of access to in vitro fertilization from the Trump administration. In a column late last month, Bishop Conley said in part, quote, "The IVF action was announced as a pro-family and pro-life effort to help American families have more babies. While the intention and goal are indeed noble, IVF, in fact, undermines human dignity, marriage, and family life. Like so many other sufferings, infertility is part of the mystery of original sin and the wounded, fallen world in which we live. Yet God calls us to bear these crosses with grace and dignity. We need not carry our crosses alone. As the Sisters of Life so beautifully state, Jesus is intimately familiar with the barren wilderness and yearns to meet us there until we can rest refreshed in the promised land with him." Bishop Conley adds that the church supports technology that helps married couples address the root causes of infertility, and many medical professionals are available to address the issue while staying true to church teaching. And he says the Trump administration deserves credit for not creating a mandate that would force employers or government subsidies to pay for IVF. And there is no infringement on religious liberty nor conscience rights. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says parents have a fundamental right to choose a school for their children that corresponds to their own convictions. It adds that the government must guarantee this fundamental right. EWTN Vatican journalist Sofia Shubik has more from Rome on one group's efforts to push for education for all and the saint who inspires their work.
But when you start to see the image and likeness in God in a child with cerebral palsy, or a teenager with Down syndrome, or a kid with neurodiversity, or an adult with Alzheimer's disease, God becomes much more expansive.
The Jubilee of the World of Education in Rome recently brought together hundreds of educators. The schedule included meetings with Pope Leo XIV and discussions on the future of schools. Among those present were members of the Kairos Forum, a group that seeks to ensure that people with disabilities have the educational opportunities they need. Kairos Forum director Christina Gangemi has 25 years' experience helping those with special needs. Gangemi equates the value of education through the lens of 20th century saint Edith Stein.
But it's about the recognition and the understanding of a person's value and the way in which, as one of our professors said today, the way in which we have to look beyond the verbal, the typical way of doing things, and look down into the spirit of the person.
The international meeting in Rome focused on how we can create an educational environment that embraces people with disabilities and learning difficulties.
Hundreds and hundreds of people who experience disability live with a condition called remorse for being, where they look around and see everybody different from themselves and feel remorseful for who they are. People don't need to repair who they are, they just need to be who they are.
Professor Angela Bello, one of the speakers at the event, shared her interest in Edith Stein's philosophy and the saint's interpretation of the human being.
Because she starts from our experience, our inside experience, lived experience, and the result of her investigation is the tripartition of the human being. That is our body. Naturally, we feel, perceive our body. And then we have a psychic reaction, and at last we can, through our mind, evaluating and make decisions and so on.
With 40 years' experience as a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, Joseph Dukowski explains how working with children with disabilities has helped him see the divine in human imperfection.
Well, actually, they kind of help me more than I help them, to be honest with you, because we're all made in the image and likeness of God, every one of us. God doesn't make mistakes, at least he hasn't yet. And these people with disabilities and their families, by the way, because you can't care for a person with a disability without caring for their family and their community. They've rescued me. They're my greatest mentors, sometimes because of my inabilities or my imperfections, and not despite them. And it gives you a freedom.
Real change starts when we see the worth in every person and focus on what they are capable of instead of what they are not. Education is a door for everyone, and sometimes some might need help keeping that door open. In Rome, Zofia Tubak for EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Pope Leo reminds the faithful that the Christian vision of death is not one of despair. Instead, it is a confident expectation rooted in the resurrection of Christ.
Nel giorno della morte, essi ci hanno lasciato.
In a Mass on All Souls Day at a cemetery in Rome, the Holy Father urged us not to remain in sorrow for those who have died. Instead, we should look toward the goal of our own journey, toward the safe harbor God has promised us, and the unending feast that awaits. The Holy Father adds that we can anticipate eternal life by practicing charity in our daily lives. Coming up, the art of saving lives. A pro-life group reveals the winners in its contest to be creative in fighting for the unborn. You're watching EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. I'm Abigail Galvan. Welcome back to our program. The results are in. Students for Life of America has revealed the winners of its fall 2025 National Pro-Life Chalk Day competition. Artists across the United States submitted their work to the pro-life organization as a way to celebrate the dignity of preborn children. The submissions were based on the following categories: most artistic, best use of theme, best representation of preborn children, and most creative message. Alexandra Cleveland, a pro-life artist from Burbank, California, won most artistic. She drew a depiction of a preborn child being knit together in the womb, intertwined with strands of DNA. Pro-life students with Classical Conversations in North Carolina won best use of theme. The year's theme is defunding and debarring Planned Parenthood. Temecula Students for Life, based out of California, won Best Representation of Preborn Children. The chalk art showed a passage from the Book of Psalms that says, "God knew us all in our mother's womb." And finally, Winthrop Students for Life in South Carolina won Most Creative Message. The Pro-Life College group highlighted two messages: one, that reproductive rights should never include abortion, and two, every human life holds value from the moment of fertilization. Each group or person that won their category also won a $100 Amazon gift card. Before we wrap up this week, we have some historic news to share from the world of healthcare. Presidio Healthcare, the first Christian pro-life health insurer, has launched in the state of Texas, with additional states coming soon. Residents in the Lone Star states can now enroll in a health insurance plan that protects both the health and conscience of their customers. Daniel Cruz, CEO and co-founder of Presidio Healthcare, said in a press release, quote, "There has been an absence of ethical choices for pro-life Christians in the market for health insurance. By offering real insurance for pro-life Christians, we're empowering families to take charge of their health care." A unique feature of Presidio Healthcare is that no premium dollars will support unethical medical procedures, including abortion. Congratulations to Presidio Healthcare for their launch. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to like and follow us on our social media channels. You can find us at EWTN Pro-Life on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, EWTN.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.